Hello and welcome to the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we are covering the week of October 19th to October 25th, talking all about baseball. We are the Cutoff Man, from the sport to the fans, directly to the fans. And this is our last full week of the playoffs, and we have the World Series this week to cover, which is a best of seven series. So that's the first team to get four wins will be the champions and win the Commissioner's Trophy. And just in case if you forgot, this series does have day offs too, unlike the Divisional and Championship Series, which did not have any days off. All of these games will be played at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, and Game 1 will be on Tuesday, October 20th. Game 6 and 7, which 6 is needed, 7 might be needed. Game 6 will be Tuesday, October 27th, and Game 7 will be the next day, Wednesday, October 28th, if that is needed. Now that we've set the stage, let's get to the action. The Tampa Bay Rays take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. The Dodgers are the home team in this series, so they have, because they have the better regular season record, so they have home field advantage for the first two and the last two games in the series, if it goes to seven. Let's get into Game 1, where the Rays started Tyler Glasnow, who went 4 1/3 innings pitched, allowing 3 hits, 6 earned runs, and he got 8 strikeouts. The Dodgers started Clayton Kershaw, who pitched 6 innings with 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 8 strikeouts. The Dodgers strike first and get on the board with a 2-run homer from Cody Bellinger, and Kevin Kiermaier hits a solo homer for the Rays, but they are still trailing the Dodgers. Speaking of the Dodgers, they extend their lead as Max Muncy reaches on a fielder's choice, and that drives in a run. Then Chris Taylor singles to drive in a run for the Dodgers, and Kike Hernandez singles to drive in another run for the Dodgers. And Mookie Betts hits a solo homer as Max Muncy doubles to score a few more runs for the Dodgers. A lot of runs. The Rays score in the seventh as Mike Brough. So singles to drive in a run. Then Kevin Kiermaier hits a single to drive in a run as well. But that's not enough as the Rays lose Game 1, 8-3. Now let's get to Game 2. The Rays start Blake Snell, who pitched 4 2/3 innings pitched with 2 hits, 2 earned runs, and 9 strikeouts. He was no hitting the Dodgers for the first 4 2/3 innings, but the Dodgers offense got to him eventually. The Dodgers started Tony Gonsolin, who pitched 1 1/3 inning with 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 1 strikeout. The Rays score first as Brandon Lowe hits a solo homer in the first inning. The Rays add on a couple more runs in the fourth as Joey Wendell doubles to drive in 2 runs, and Brandon Lowe homers again. That's 2 in the game, and that's in the fifth inning. The Dodgers score in the fifth as well as Chris Taylor hits a 2-run homer. Joey Wendell hits a sac fly to drive in a run for the Rays, and the Dodgers score later as Will Smith gets a solo homer, and then Corey Seager hits a solo homer as well. But that does not quite do it for the Dodgers, and they lose this one 6-4. It is tied 1-1 after the first day off of this series. The Dodgers face off against the Rays in Game 3. The Rays start Charlie Morton, who pitches 4 1/3 innings pitch with 7 hits, 5 earned runs, and 6 strikeouts. In this game, the Dodgers started Walker Buehler, who goes 6 innings pitch with 3 hits, 1 earned run, and 10 strikeouts. Walker was no hitting the Rays in this game for the first 4 innings. The Dodgers get to Charlie Morton early as Justin Turner hits a solo home run in the first inning. Then in the third, Max Muncy hits a single to drive in 2 runs for the Dodgers. Austin Barnes hits a sack bunt in the fourth. That drives in a run for the Dodgers. They're up 4-0. Mookie Betts singles to make it 5-0. Then Willy Adames doubles. That scores a run for the Rays. Austin Barnes, solo homer for the Dodgers. Randy Arozarena, solo homer for the Rays. That's not enough. The Rays lose 6-2 in game four. The Dodgers start Julio Urias, who went 4 2/3 innings pitch with 4 hits, 2 earned runs, and 9 strikeouts. The Rays started Ryan Yarbrough, who pitched 3 1/3 innings with 5 hits, 2 earned runs, and 1 strikeout. The Dodgers scored first in this one with some help from Justin Turner again. First inning, homer off of Ryan Yarbrough. Then in the third inning, Corey Seager, solo home run off Yarbrough as well for the Dodgers. Dodgers are up 2-0. The Rays gain some ground in the fourth inning as guess who? Randy Arozarena hits a solo homer off of Julio Urias. It's 2-1, still Dodgers winning, but the Dodgers lengthen that lead in the fifth inning as Max Muncy singles off Pete Fairbanks. He's out on second, but run scores for the Dodgers. It's 3-1. Hunter Renfroe homers off of Julio Urias for the Rays. They are still just one run behind the Dodgers in the fifth inning. 3-2. Dodgers, the Dodgers score another run as Kike Hernandez doubles off of Diego Castillo and drives in a run. 4-2 Dodgers. In the sixth inning, Brandon Lowe hit a 3-run homer off of Pedro Baez. They take the lead. It's Rays winning 5-4 in the sixth, but let's go to the top of the seventh as Jock Peterson hits a single off Nick Anderson, which goes right off the glove of Brandon Lowe. That scores 2 runs for the Dodgers, and now they're up. It's 6-5 Dodgers, but the Rays, they won't give up this game without a battle because Kevin Kiermaier hits a solo homer off Pedro Baez. That ties the game in the seventh. It's 6-6. Tied in the eighth inning, the Dodgers take back the lead with a Corey Seager single off of Nick Anderson, which drives in a run. It's 7-6 Dodgers. Now let's go to the bottom of the ninth in game four. The Rays are at bat. Kenley Jansen is pitching for the Dodgers. Jansen starts off the inning by striking out Yoshi Tetsugo for the first out of the inning. Then Kevin Kiermaier singles and gets on first base. Up comes Joey Wendell, and he lines out for the second out of the ninth inning. It's 2 outs. Then we get a mound visit because the next batter is Randy Arozarena. Randy draws a walk. We have runners on first and second base with 2 outs for Brett Phillips. This is Brett's first at-bat in the World Series, and it's against Kenley Jansen. And Brett singles to center field, and that drives in Kevin Kiermaier. This game is tied 7-7, but wait, there's more. Chris Taylor gets the ball, but mishandles it. It falls out of his glove. Taylor fires the ball to Max Muncy. Randy Arozarena is sent home from third, but he trips, he stumbles, he falls, he's on the ground. But wait, there's more. Will Smith doesn't catch the ball at home plate. It goes right past him, and no one's backing up home plate. Now, that doesn't matter as much, but because the ball's passed, Randy Arozarena gets out from the ground and scores. The Rays walk it off, and they win game four. The series is tied 2-2. Ooh, let's go to game five. The Dodgers start Clayton Kershaw, who pitched 5 2/3 innings with 5 hits, 2 earned runs, and 6 strikeouts. Tyler Glasnow started this game for the Rays, and he pitched 5 innings with 6 hits, 4 earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. The Dodgers score in the first off of Tyler Glasnow as Corey Seager singles to drive in a run. Cody Bellinger singles as well. That scores a run for the Dodgers. And Jock Peterson hits a solo homer in the second inning. Dodgers are up 3-0. The Rays do score in the third, as well as Yandy Diaz triples to drive in a run. Then Randy Arozarena singles to drive in a run, but the Rays are still trailing by 1. But the Dodgers add on another run with a Max Muncy solo homer in the fifth inning, and the Dodgers take game 5. And they just need one more win to be the champs and win the World Series. And the Rays would need 2 those games. If a game 7 happens, that will be this upcoming week. That will be on Wednesday. and Game 6 will be on Tuesday. We had a lot of good games this week. Started off a little slow, but then that Game 4 is about as exciting as it gets. One of the most intense games I've watched going back and forth, and leads off to the ninth inning with one of the craziest situations I've ever seen happen in a span of a minute at least. So that is crazy, but that's all we got for the games for this week. But so we're going to go to break, but after the break, we're going to talk about some of the storylines for this week, some player awards, get into some of the news, some fun stats and little factoids about what happened this week. But remember, this is The Cutoff, man, with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. We'll be right back.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find a trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello, we are back. This is The Cutoff, man, with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. The Cutoff, man. Now let's get to our storylines for this week. After the Game 4 walk-off, Brett Phillips finds himself in company with some legends and some legendary moments and other special World Series moments. There are three other players other than Brett Phillips with two out, two strike walk-off hits. You might remember some of these moments. The first guy we have is Mookie Wilson in the 1986 World Series, who reached on an error. If you don't know, that's a Bill Buckner play. Kirk Gibson in the 1988 World Series with his homer, one of the most famous moments in MLB history. Then Derek Jeter in the 2001 World Series with his own homer. Some crazy homers, some crazy moments, and this is going to go down in MLB history. And Phillips got on with his hit and the error. Those are some crazy moments in baseball history. Now, for some more storylines, after Game 4, Kenley Jansen's blown save is now his fourth blown save in the World Series. And that ties Jerry Familia, who has four blown saves in the World Series, for the most amount of blown saves. With save opportunities in the World Series, Jansen has an ERA of 3.38 with three home runs allowed, two saves and three blown saves. He has more blown saves than, saves. He actually would have four blown saves. So Kenley Jansen, hopefully he bounces back for this and throws some good innings. Now let's go to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are now the first team ever in the MLB to have a home run in four innings in a row in a playoff game and a World Series game at that. And that was in Game 4. In Game 3, Walker Buehler became the first pitcher with more than 10 strikeouts in an outing of 6 innings or less. Another little interesting stat factoid, as I call these, is the Dodgers catcher Austin Barnes becomes the second ever player to score a run off of a sack, bunt, and a homer in the same game in the World Series. Pretty special. You win on all sides. So some of these guys need to do to get known, get famous, good for them, and get contracts. Yes, for our next interesting factoid stat, the Rays second baseman Brandon Lowe is the second player in MLB to have multiple home runs in a World Series game after going into the game with a batting average of lower than 200 with a minimum of 30 plate appearances. kind of a lot of stuff going on with that one. Only other player to do that before Brandon Lowe is Eddie Murray. In game one, Kershaw earned his fifth win in game one of the playoffs of this World Series. That's the most, which ties him with some names such as John Smoltz, CeCe Sabathia, and Justin Verlander. Also, Clayton Kershaw passes Justin Verlander, who has 205 strikeouts in the postseason, which was the most. But now it goes to Clayton Kershaw, who has 207 strikeouts, the most strikeouts in the playoffs. Amazing. Really good for him. Now, another little interesting fact that I thought I would bring to you guys. It's a little over of 41%. 23 out of 56 of the Dodgers and Rays players combined in the World Series roster were all top 100 prospects. 23 out of 56. That is amazing. Just shows how impressive their farm systems are and how they're just really good teams that made it to the World Series. This is one of the first times in a few years that the two teams with the best records in baseball have met each other in the World Series, so that's exciting to watch. Now, let's get some of the player awards that were announced this week. We have the relievers of the year. Let's get to the nominees. In the NL, it's Devin Williams of the Brewers, Trevor Rosenthal of the Padres, Jeremy Jeffers of the Cubs, and the winner is, drumroll, is Devin Williams of the Brewers. He is the NL reliever of the year. Now for our AL, it goes, our nominees are Brad Hand of the Indians, Alex Colome of the White Sox, Liam Hendricks of the A's, and our winner for the AL reliever of the year is Liam Hendricks. Really good. Usually never get to really hear about these a lot, which is why I'm bringing them to you in this podcast, because you always hear who wins, but you never hear who is the nominees, who's getting there, and you know those guys are the top three relievers in the sport. So I just thought they should be known, and no one really talks about that as much, and they really deserve the recognition. So let's go to the Gold Glove nominees for the 2020 season. We're going to start with the AL, and we'll go to our pitchers. Our first nominee for the Golden Glove for pitchers is Griffin Cannon of the Los Angeles Angels, Kenta Maeda of the Minnesota Twins, and Zach Plesac of the Cleveland Indians. For our AL catchers, it's Yasmani Grandel, James McCann, both on the White Sox. That is pretty cool. And Roberto Perez of the Indians. That's really cool. It's Yasmani Grandel and James McCann both on the same team. Both competing for Gold Gloves. That's pretty cool. Now, for our first baseman, it's Yuli Gurriel, Matt Olson, and Evan White. Yuli Gurriel's on Houston. Olson is on the A's. And Evan White is on the Seattle Mariners. For our second baseman, it goes Cesar Hernandez of the Indians, Danny Mendick of the Chicago White Sox, Jonathan Scope of the Tigers, and Nicky Lopez of the Kansas City Royals. Now for our AL shortstops, Carlos Correa of the Astros, J.P. Crawford of the Seattle Mariners, and Nico Goodrum from the Detroit Tigers. Now let's go to our third baseman in the AL, our Gold Glove nominees, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa of the Texas Rangers, Yoan Moncada from the Chicago White Sox, Gio Urshela from the New York Yankees. And that's it for that. Now for our left fielders, Alex Gordon for the Royals, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Kyle Tucker for the Houston Astros. For our center fielders, it goes to Brian Buxton of the Twins, Ramon Laureano of the Oakland A's, and Luis Robert of the White Sox. A lot of White Sox in this. That's very good for them. Almost all of them have there's almost a White Sox in almost every category. That's cool. Now, for the right fielders, it's pretty interesting. Clint Frazier of the New York Yankees. A lot of people say that he was a terrible fielder last year. One of the reasons why they said he didn't get that much playing time. And they had him down in AAA for a while. And now he's a nominee for Gold Glove. So that's really cool see how long the Yankees can hold him back off of their major league roster for. Joey Gallo of the Texas Rangers and Anthony Santander of the Baltimore Orioles. Now let's get to the National League for our NL pitchers. It's Max Fried of the Braves, Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs, and Alec Mills of the Chicago Cubs. Really cool. Two Cubs in there. The catchers for the NL, Tucker Barnhart, Wilson Contreras. Barnhart is on the Reds, Contreras on the Cubs, and Jacob Stallings on the Pittsburgh Pirates. First base goes to Brandon Belt for our nominees on the San Francisco Giants. Paul Goldschmidt for the St. Louis Cardinals, and Anthony Rizzo on the Chicago Cubs. Now for our second baseman, it's Adam Frazier in Pittsburgh, the Chicago Cubs' very own Nico Horner, and Colton Wong of the St. Louis Cardinals. Third baseman, Brian Anderson of Miami, Nolan Arenado of Colorado, and Manny Machado for the San Diego Padres. For our shortstops, it's Javier Baez of the Chicago Cubs, Miguel Rojas of the Miami Marlins, and Dansby Swanson of the Atlanta Braves. Now for our left fielders, Shogo Akiyama of the Cincinnati Reds, David Peralta of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Tyler O'Neill. Oh my, O'Neill in from the St. Louis Cardinals. NL center fielders, let's go to them. Ronald Acuna Jr. for the Atlanta Braves. Cody Bellinger is our next nominee for center fielder from the Dodgers. And Trent Grisham from the Padres. Now, our last one to our NL right fielders. Mookie Betts of the Dodgers. Charlie Blackmon of the Colorado Rockies. And Jason Hayward of the Cubs. And that's a lot of good nominees for this year. Usually never get to hear about this. You always hear about who wins, but you never know about who's there. And these guys appreciate all the press and all that good information about them because they're really good players. And a lot of them get overlooked for their defensive prowess. And as a kid, never got to hear about any of this. And I would have liked, especially in recent years, knowing who's up for it other than knowing who wins it. So that's really good and really nice to bring it to you guys. And that's all we got for our news and storylines for this week. So I'll take a quick break. But right after the break, we'll talk about the players in the World Series, go over my personal players of the week and players to watch for in our last games of the World Series and the 2020 postseason. That's it. Now, let's go to break, but remember, this is the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'll be right back.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. Carbon emissions represent man's greatest controllable contribution to global warming. If you like to breathe crisp, healthful air, think about this. For every mile driven, 1 pound of carbon particulate matter is released into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. And keep it clean.
Hello and welcome back to the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Now let's get to our individual players. But first, we have our special guest, very special, Pablo the Pigeon. I think I see him now. There he is. Pablo! Thank you, Pablo. And there he is, and he has given us our players, personal players of the week, and our players to watch for. And of course, Pablo's pick. Always need to have Pablo's pick, and this one is a fun one, as always. Now, let's get to our personal players of the week. This is a repeat, But how can you not repeat this after knowing how good this guy is? It's Randy Arozarena for the AL of the Tampa Bay Rays, a left fielder. He's amazing. Of course, I had to pick him again. It's just how good he is. So Randy Arozarena, left fielder for the Rays. In the 2020 postseason, Randy has had a batting average of 370 and an OPS of 1.247. Yes, that is amazing. In the regular season, he had a batting average of 281 and OPS of 1.022 and an OPS plus of 179. He is so good. 9 home runs in the postseason and 73 at-bats. Breaking records. He's setting records. He is amazing. Randy Arozarena came up in the middle of the year this year. Tampa Bay Rays got him from a trade last offseason with the Cardinals, where they gave up one of their good pitching prospects for Jose Martinez. And Randy Arozarena, no one really knew who he was. He was on the Cardinals roster last year in the playoffs. Really didn't get to play that much. But in the playoffs this year, 2020, he's making a splash. One of the biggest names right now in the playoffs and the biggest name on the Rays, kind of carrying this team sometimes when it comes to offense. Other guys have been putting in the work for the Rays, but Randy Arozarena is the star. He's got his power boots on. He's scoring from third after falling on the ground, dirt, grass, all over him, but he's still going to score after the ball gets away from Will Smith. Now for the NL, got to give it to Corey Seager of the Dodgers. A shortstop, not just a shortstop, the shortstop of the Dodgers in the 2020 postseason. Corey in the house has had a batting average of 344, an OPS of 1.215. Amazing. He's been on fire for the Dodgers. He's been killing it. He's been doing great. And in the regular season, he has had a batting average of 307, OPS of 0.943, and an OPS plus of 152. And he's one of the many guys on the Dodgers just doing it. It's kind of hard to pick. Last week went Mookie Betts. This week, Corey Seager. It was either him or Justin Turner. But you might hear about Justin Turner later. You actually will hear about him later. So, but first, let's get to our players to watch for. And we'll start with the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll go to Hunter Renfroe. Stats are all right. I just think he can come clutch in a moment. Had a home run in game 4. Think he could do it again. Could make a splash and help the team when they need him. But let's get to his stats. Right fielder in the 2020 postseason, Hunter has had a batting average of 182 and OPS of 717. In regular season, Hunter has had a batting average of 182 and an OPS of 645 and an OPS plus of 77. Now let's go to our next player to watch for. This one I like a lot more. It's Brandon Lowe. He is awesome. Second baseman. And in the 2020 playoffs, Brandon has had a batting average of 123 and an OPS of 0.467. Not good at all. But when you go to his regular season stats, they're not bad. They're pretty good. Shows that he can be an above average player and he could do a lot for this team, but he's just not performing as much as he should. So let's get to those stats. All right, so in the regular season, Brandon Lowe has had an batting average of 269, OPS of 0.916, and OPS plus of 152. Now let's get to our pitchers. Remember, we do two pitchers and two hitters from each team in this World Series time. So our two players were Hunter Renfroe and Brandon Lowe for the Rays. And Diego Castillo is our first pitcher, relief pitcher for the Rays. Mentioned him a few weeks ago, but in 2020 playoffs, he has an ERA of 1.64. Amazing. A whip of 1.27 and 12 strikeouts in 11 innings pitched. He's really good. Feel like he could do a lot for the Rays. Give up a run in his last outing, I believe, or in pretty recently, but he's really good. Diego Castillo, kind of, I wouldn't say their closer, but their best player, or one of their best pitchers when it comes to their bullpen, and they'll put him wherever they need to have him in a high-pressure kind of scenario slash situation. In the regular season, he has an ERA of 1.66, whip of 1.06, and 23 strikeouts and 21 and two-thirds innings pitched. Now let's go to Aaron Loop, a relief pitcher in the 2020 playoffs. He has an ERA of 3.60 and a WHIP of 1.40 and 12 strikeouts and 11 innings pitched. Pretty good. Regular season Aaron has had an ERA of 2.52, a WHIP of 0.840 and 22 strikeouts in 25 innings pitched. Like those stats in the regular season. So he's doing it pretty good. Now let's go to the Dodgers. Our position players for them are two for this team are Justin Turner. Said I talk about him. He deserves to be talked about. Really good. Goes back-to-back games with homers in the first inning. That's amazing. Putting your team ahead in the first inning and giving them that advantage is amazing. Speaks volumes. Helps the team out. And it pumps them up. This is a team that needs that energy, that feeds off of the energy that their guys provide them. And that's Justin Turner. Gives it all to them. As a third baseman in the 2020 playoffs, he has a batting average of 2.62 and an OPS of 0.839. And in the regular season, Justin has had a batting average of 3.07, an OPS of 0.960, and OPS plus of 1.35. Really good for Justin Turner. Amazing stats this season. And he's fallen a little short in the playoffs, but he's coming up. He's came up in some good moments. Starts off pretty hot in the game. And puts his team ahead. That's all you need. It's all you can ask for sometimes. And it's really good for Justin Turner. Now let's go to Jock Peterson. Oh, beast. They tried to trade Jock Peterson. But I bet you wish they didn't now. Because look at what he's doing. Pretty good. And hitting some homers for the Dodgers. So that's good. But it doesn't matter. Because the trade didn't end up working out. But Jock Peterson, a left fielder in the 2020 playoffs, has a batting average of 3.82 and an OPS of 0.975, which is amazing. Jeez, 3.82 batting average in the playoffs. That is awesome and amazing for him. In the regular season, he had a batting average of 1.90, OPS of 0.681, and OPS plus of 84. So not that good at all in the regular season, but in the postseason, turning it up. Whole different gear, changing gears, and he's doing it. Now let's go to our pitchers for the Dodgers. Blake Treinen could be in a lot of important situations, has been in important situations, closing out games. He could be a big guy, a big factor for them in the future, especially in this postseason. He already has been a big factor. Relief pitcher in 2020 playoffs, he has an ERA of 4.76, WHIP of 0.88 and 10 strikeouts in 11 and one thirds innings pitch in the regular season. Blake has had an ERA of 3.86 and a WHIP of 1.21 and 22 strikeouts in 25 and two thirds innings pitch. Really good for him. Now let's go to Bruce Star Gratterall. He loves his celebrations. He's pointing up. He's yelling. Looks like he's having a great time. And living in the moment. That's what you gotta do when you're here. Never know how long you're gonna be in the big league. So enjoy it while you can. Relief pitcher. But he might be there for a while because he's good. And relief pitcher in the 2020 playoffs. He has an ERA of 3.86. And a WHIP of 0.86. Good with four strikeouts in seven innings pitch. The regular season. Bruce Starr has had an ERA of 3.09. And a WHIP of 0.90 and 13 strikeouts in 23 and one thirds innings pitched. Now let's go to Pablo's pick. Oh, this is a good one. Now we have to go to Cody Bellinger, but to tell this story, we have to go back a little over a week to the NLCS game 7, where he celebrated a little too hard, partied a little too hard with his teammates. They thrust their elbows towards each other with all of their might. And his body just can't take it. He dislocates his shoulder during his celebration. He goes, ow, ow, ow. Goes to get it relocated. Pops it back in. He said, ooh, it hurt a little bit. So after he homers in game one, he decides to hit. He hits his homer. And they decide to tap their feet with each other. Very nice, gentle, fun, good in good spirits. And just light taps. And it's hilarious, and they're just having a great time no matter how they celebrate. Safety and precaution prevail again. love it. And Pablo is all about the safety. You'll see him fly with his biker helmet all the time. But that's all we got for our personal players of the week and our players to watch for. And of course, Pablo's pick. And after going over all of those amazing stats, I'm quite parched. I'm going to need a little bit of water, but I'll take a quick break. I'll get some of that and we'll be right back. But remember, this is The Cutoff and with DJ Grandmaster Slam only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And once we come back, we will talk about our upcoming matchups. We will be right back.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello and welcome back. And just in case if you forgot what you're listening to, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Now let's get into our upcoming matchups. Talk about what's going to happen before that. Let's talk about after Game 5 of the World Series, which took place Sunday, October 25th. We have an off day on Monday. Then in the Tuesday, October 27th, our off day is Game 6. And if the Rays manage to force a Game 7, that'll be the next day, Wednesday, October 28th. Don't forget it. That could be a Game 7. And don't forget the Game 6. The Dodgers will have the home field advantage for the last of these games in the series because they have the better record. And just like the rest of the games in this series, these will be played in Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Nice stadium. They got the roof. Now, let's get into our pitching matchup for Game 6 of the World Series. Yes, for this game, the Tampa Bay Rays will start Blake Snell. And in his last outing, which was in Game 2, he pitched 4 2/3 innings pitched with 2 hits. 2 earned runs, and 9 strikeouts. Pretty good. And the Dodgers will start Tony Gonsolin. And these two faced off in Game 2 in this series on Wednesday, October 21st. Tony Gonsolin pitched 1 1/3 innings with 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 1 strikeout. So Blake Snell did get the better of Tony Gonsolin in this outing. But let's see if Tony Gonsolin can bounce back. He had his proper days off, and maybe he can make an impact for the Dodgers, help him win, and solidify himself in Dodgers history. Maybe be one of their guys coming up next year, as well as this year. But yeah, so he can be great. Now, let's get to if a Game 7 is forced. Both of these teams do not have their starters listed. That's to be determined at this moment. I mean, if that happens, then we will know. And we'll see what happens. If it does happen, it could be Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton. But we'll see. Might be more bullpens, Peace Taylor, whatever they can to have some good outings. But let's talk about the keys for these teams. The key for the Rays has been, is that, I mean, their offense needs to produce more. Pitching has not fared as well as it should against the Dodgers lineup or as it could. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record over here. But it's the Rays' offense. They need to produce a little more. They haven't been shut out. And I mean, it's no secret that it's their offense. But they haven't been shut out, which is really good. I mean, they've at least scored more than a run in some of these games. So that's good that they're not being shut out. They have a little bit of offense that's doing it for them. But they need to start getting on the level of the Dodgers, which it's going to be really hard. But no one ever said this was supposed to be easy. But yeah, that's one of the keys, is that Rays offense. And I mean, there are some guys that really need to do it. It's Joey Wendell, Willie Adames, Austin Meadows, of course. Mentioned a few of these guys last time. Mike Zunino need help. Brandon Lau, Kevin Kiermaier, and and Randy Arozarena and give them some support. This offense can get on base, get some more runs. Some of their players can produce a little more. That'd be really good for them. Manage to get in a few more runs in this series could really turn the tide in Game 6 and help them get to Game 7. And if, you know, hopefully for them win it, and that might, you know, that could be a key for them. But let's get to the Rays pitching. They need more innings with those starters, with their next two. They haven't been giving that much. They've been averaging, it looks like, somewhere around like five or six maybe. I mean, very low, more like five. So it's not very good. I mean, Blake Snell can go more like high fives in the sixes for six innings of dominant pitching, or if Charlie Morton can do that, 5 to 7 innings, that can really help take some pressure off of the Rays bullpen and really help them for these next few games. These are guys that have history of being dominant, Cy Young candidates, amazing players that can really, they have the potential to put out good innings for the Rays. They just need to do it. They would have to have some of their best pitching that we've seen this year, most likely. So, well, and let's see if that happens for them. Really help take some pressure off. Bullpen pressure is on them, but that is that. So it's the pitching, it's the hitting, it's everything, but they always have a chance. Now let's get to the Dodgers and their key to winning, and that's the bullpen. It's if it can be dominant and shut down the Rays offense in the late innings of the game, that helps them. That will help them succeed. I believe, I mean, a lot of people believe in the starting pitching of the Dodgers. They've been proving the non-believers wrong sometimes. So that's good. And it also comes down to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts and his decisions. A lot of people think he's mismanaging. Some people don't. Some people do. And it's regarding pitching changes, handling that Dodgers bullpen, when to take out guys, who to leave in, what to do. And he's going to have to figure it out for the Dodgers, because if it happens in the late innings against that bullpen, that is not good for them. So the key is for that bullpen to really hammer it down, keep it down, shut down the Rays. And it's Dave Roberts. See if he has the ability to make the best decisions possible in these next few games. Because if he does, the Dodgers can win. Another key for victory for the Dodgers is if their offense can be as dominant as they've shown in the past. If their offense just goes out, scores like 7 runs in the first inning, it's over. It's done. Not really. But that mentally challenges so many people to come back from a 7-run deficit after the first inning or anything. They do what they did to the Braves, score 11, 12 runs in the first inning. That demoralizes someone, and it's crazy. So if they do something like that, it could end it right there. End it in the first, second inning and put some runs on the board and just psych them out. And that's the key. You have offense. Use it as much as you can and go out swinging and score some runs. That'll put you ahead. That'll win the game. It's offense. It's pitching. But it's always the little things that matter. Those are some pretty good keys. And imagine for the Dodgers pitching. I thought about this earlier. If the Dodgers had David Price, who opted out of the season because of COVID-19 and his concerns. But imagine if they had him, another starting pitcher. That's amazing. Just 2 years ago, David Price was on the Red Sox winning the World Series. So really, he's good. Hasn't been as good in recent years. But still, amazing. He is a really good pitcher. Imagine if he was on that team. I probably wouldn't be talking that much about Game 6. Maybe we would. But the last few games of 2020 baseball are here. And the postseason will end this week, but that doesn't mean I'm finished with telling you about the MLB and what is coming up in the offseason. I am not finished. Once we get done with the 2020 playoffs, and once those end, I'll be reviewing and looking back at the storylines for the 2020 season. This is all going to be for our next few episodes until we are done. We'll talk about storylines that happen in the 2020 postseason, cover potential news that will come out from the team, such as hires, fires, roster moves. We'll talk about potential moves for teams and free agency that they make, or trades and transactions. We'll talk about holes that teams need to fill, and we'll talk about what players teams lost, who they could gain in 2021, and what will happen in that 2021 MLB season, what these teams need. And my fourth segment, my favorite, is we'll talk about our potential breakout stars, maybe some comeback stories from injuries, just having some good years after having not so good years. And we'll talk about some rookies that maybe have some promise. And I love it because it's my effort to try and cheer up all those heartbroken fans whose teams lost. We got 29 teams who lost and 29 fan bases who are sad about it. But we will cheer you up and talk about all the good parts of your team and what you can do, what that team could do to have a good season in the 2021 season. But that's all we got for this week. We had some action and was great. And I hope you had fun with this playoff baseball. It's not over yet. We have one or two more games, so enjoy those. And I hope you had a great time listening to my podcast. So have a great week. And remember, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I will talk to you next time. Bye.